coming October 1st, Next Gen PT TV, an affordable subscription-based video platform designed by PTs for PTs. Access and watch clinically relevant content for as low as $7.95 a month. With channels ranging from orthopedic prep to applied pain sciences, you'll be sure to find a channel for you. Next Gen PT TV. More information at nxtgenpt.tv. On Twitter at nxtgeninstitute. Next Gen PT TV, coming October 1st.
This is the PT Pintcast, a podcast that talks about physical therapy over beer. Bringing together clinicians, researchers, and forward-thinking PTs in a show that's anything but boring.
Let there be beer!
This is the PT Pintcast with your host, Jimmy McKay.
All right, welcome to the PT Pintcast, another episode. This one, looking forward to it. The newly elected Sharon Dunn of the APTA, now the president, the highest in the land, describes herself on Twitter as a PT, a teacher, insatiably curious, a college football fanatic. We'll find out what team she likes. Lover of family, friends, fellowship, and live music. Grateful and enduring believer, Sharon Dunn, APTA president. Welcome to the PT Pintcast.
Thank you, Jimmy. What a great introduction. And reading my Twitter explanation of who I am in a nutshell, that's it. I love all those things.
Yeah, I kind of like doing that because Twitter forces you to kind of keep things brief. So you have to kind of keep the super important stuff right at the top. So all that stuff kind of describes you.
Similar to this podcast.
Yeah, it's all about, you know, short conversations and having a drink. So what are we drinking tonight?
I'm having the Southern delicacy of sweet tea tonight,
sweet
actually.
Tea.
Yeah, it's good and syrupy sweet. But if I'm in a mood to partake of the alcoholic beverage, it's usually a Michelob Ultra because I have to watch my girlish figure. Mm-hmm. But Louisiana has some good beer. Abita Springs in New Orleans makes some excellent Abita beers. If you've never had Turbo Dog, it's very good.
Okay.
Also Andy Gator, and they actually have one for the summer that is seersucker beer, nice light summer ale.
Sounds good. I'm doing the Line and Kugel Summer Shandy, the pride of Chippewa Falls, Wisconsin. It's lemonade beer. So how long have you been in Louisiana? You're a professor at Louisiana State Shreveport.
Yes, born and raised right here in Shreveport, Louisiana. So you would consider me somewhat of a home girl, but I love to travel. So I've been all over the world. I love international travel. I love where APTA takes me all over the country, but it's always good to come home. The most time I spent outside of Shreveport was doing my pre-physical therapy 2 years. That was back when it was a bachelor's degree program in Monroe, Louisiana, so mm-hmm. 2 hours east.
So going from the bachelor's degree in PT, did you practice right there in Louisiana too?
I did. As soon as I graduated, I went to practice right where our academic institution is as part of a level one trauma center. So I practiced there in the acute setting for a whopping 3 months.
And then what happened?
And then I went out into a private outpatient clinic here in Shreveport, practiced there, and in an outpatient part of a private hospital in Shreveport. So for the first 6 or 8 years of my career, I was doing primarily outpatient orthopedics and then came back to the academic setting.
When you graduated and it was a bachelor's degree, what did the APTA look like? Because you've been a member since 1985. You've got a couple presidencies to look back upon.
Yeah.
As you begin yours. What's the APT look like back then, and how's it changed to now?
I think the APTA has always been an aspirational and professional excellence organization. So in looking what the goals and the vision for the APTA continue to be, that has not changed. We continue to set the bar high for practice and for what societal expectations of our practice are. So APTA still looks the same to me now as it did in 1985 as the standard bearer, the bar, the excellence that we should all strive for. practice, on the other hand, has evolved in many ways. When we were educated at a bachelor's level, we were still expected to have professionalism, present ourselves as the expert for physical therapy and movement science. But the public's expectation has grown so much since that time through our efforts, our advocacy efforts towards direct access, towards doctoral preparation in our academic programs. The public has and should expect a lot more from us and our obligations to be ready to manage anything that hits the door. So that's where the largest change has been, I think, in day in, day out practice expectations.
What got you involved? What made you want to be a part of this organization? So many PTs today aren't.
Yeah.
So what drew you in and what keeps you there?
So much back then was our program chair, who's now the dean of the School of Allied Health Professions, where our program is. His expectation was that every student was a member, and we all just joined. The hook, though, was as a student, I belonged to the Continuing Education Committee of the Louisiana Physical Therapy Association, and I realized as a participant on that committee, I got to identify the national speakers to bring to our state meetings in Louisiana, and the fact that one person and a student at that could influence what was coming into the association for our continuing education was the hook. What kept me was the passion of the colleagues surrounding me in that experience, and one of the first LPTA meetings I went to as a student, we were having a closed conversation. The members were there about physician-owned physical therapy practice and the challenges that it created for private practice physical therapists in our state. And there was someone in the room whom everyone knew was involved in one of these practice situations. And he was unfortunately tape recording the conversation. He got physically removed from the room by the people there, and they came back without him, but with the tape recorder. That was a hook as well, because I thought, wow, these people care about what they do enough to challenge someone at that level. And then getting to know the characters. Of course, this is Louisiana, so we had a keg in the back of the room at our meetings. We don't do that anymore, but that was kind of the ambiance of a LPTA meeting that drew me in because of the relationships and the people and the passion.
Yeah, if somebody's willing to kind of go undercover and tape record something, and especially when there's a keg in the room. So, I mean, you're saying that passion is something that kind of brought you to the APTA, especially when you're going into, and I think a lot of DPT students know that they're getting into a profession that their colleagues and the people who have gone before them are terribly passionate about.
Yeah, I think owning your future is important, and no better way to own your future than engaged in it and making your future what you want it to be. And the APTA is the place to do that. And I am thrilled when I see early career and new professionals get engaged at a level of the organization where they're already making those kind of inroads and impacting the future. Lots of early career professionals in the House of Delegates this year, and they show up, and they don't just show up, they show out. So I am really excited about the future because of that level of engagement and energy.
Well, what else excites you? I mean, things are kind of changing right now. As always, it's kind of a fluid environment. What are some things that excite you about the profession right now?
Right now, I love the healthcare reform environment, one that we're a rush to value beyond volume. The Healthcare Reform Act, the Affordable Care Act, has forced us to show what our value is to the societal needs for healthcare. And this rush to value is creating an environment that I think is spectacular for physical therapists. The triple aim of the Affordable Care Act: better health care for individuals, better outcomes for populations, better health overall, better experience for patients, and lower cost. And we're a key player in all three points of the triple aim. And I hate that we are sometimes the best kept secret in healthcare because we're underutilized. But with the rush to value, a lot of the barriers to access to our care are coming down. The physician as the gatekeeper coming down because we're showing evidence that physical therapists at the front end of an episode of low back care reduces cost exponentially. So there are things emerging that excite me about the environment for the future. So that's just one thing.
My dad called me yesterday, and he's having upper arm, shoulder, bicep pain. And he called his son, who's, dropping $100,000 in PT school. calls and he says, what do you think I should do? So I gave him a couple quick, you know, quick questions, and it sounded like a PT could help. Did you think you should go to your PT? He said, not an orthopedic surgeon. I said, did you hear me? Is this on? So I think you're right. I think it's starting to change, but it's not there yet, especially right. because my dad hasn't gotten the message and I'm in his ear about it. How do we, and I'm saying we because I'm a member of the APTA, how do we get that out there? I hear a lot of people saying, as you just brought up, physicians are the gatekeepers, and that's starting to come down. But we don't want to market to the physicians because we don't have to directly market to physicians. We need to get to patients and potential patients, people like my dad, and you said we're the best kept secret. How do we get to them and sell PT to them before they spend more money elsewhere and then eventually wind up with us?
That is the $1 million question, and probably a million or more would be engaged in an all-out effort. Direct to consumer marketing is going to be critical. And the baby boomer generation, as your dad probably is on the cusp of, is very techno savvy, more so than we give them credit for. So they're going to be looking for that healthcare provider that's low cost, high value. And so we won't probably have to spend millions and millions of dollars, but we need to put our evidence in front of the consumer. So direct to consumer marketing. We're not good about patting ourselves on the back historically as physical therapists. We're very humble. We've got exceptional professional humility. We're likable people, and we're not running out to tell our story. So we need to do better, and I'm glad you told your dad your story. And I traditionally won't treat my family because I'm still the little sister, the daughter Sharon, and even though accomplished in many respects among my colleagues, my family just considers me Sharon. And my dad, don't you have a brace for this? No, Daddy, it's exercise. Or my brother, oh, can't you just rub it? No, this is what you need. So it's challenging to get the message across when we're incredibly diverse in what we do as well. We're not just about musculoskeletal. We're about neuromotor. We're about wound management. We're about predictive modeling in cancer survivors. There's so much more about what our capacity is that message is challenging too. So I think the best thing we can do as physical therapists is bring our absolute best to every patient encounter, because the patient that experiences exceptional quality PT will begin to demand it. They won't forget it, and they'll come back to you for advice. They'll share this with their friends and family. And I think if across the board, we brought our absolute best to every patient encounter. And that's challenging in today's environment because we're bottom line driven right now, and time investment in every patient is precious. Mm-hmm. So that I think that's the best advertisement, is what you're able to do with that patient one at a time.
All right, so let's go back to the APTA. So let's pretend you can talk directly as the president of the APTA. You can talk directly to incoming first-year students. What would you say to get them even earlier about why the APTA is something worth being a member through school and sticking to it?
It's as simple as the vision statement: transforming society by optimizing movement to improve the human experience. And this will take through your careers to accomplish. And it's exciting because now we have movement as our identity, and you're learning so much about human movement in your curriculum that makes you the expert at human movement. And APTA is the vehicle to advance and fulfill your dreams and goals to have a career that takes you through your adult years that's rewarding. And rewarding, I mean, not only by what you're able to make financially, but also what you're able to do with your patient to bring them a quality of life that their goals take them towards. And APTA is the only organization that represents the profession of physical therapy to the public. So if we have a 30% market share like we have right now, we have 30% of the capacity that we could have. If we had a 50% market share of all people who could join the APTA, we could do that much more to advancing the profession for your futures. I do teach, and in the first year for our students, I encourage them to join because of this. But I think one of the most important experiences that students can have while they're in school is to go to a national meeting and interact with the people who are writing your textbooks and interact with the movers and shakers that are decision makers in the profession and recognize that you do impact the future of your profession. And I say your profession because you're becoming loan indebted financially and you need to own that which you are going into so that nobody else owns it for you and directs you. You want to be self-directed in your future, and APTA and your involvement in it helps that. So a national meeting that's good for first and second years is the National Student Conclave. Mm-hmm. This year it's going to be in Omaha. It'll be a great experience. I like second and third years to experience combined sections meeting because that's where all of the sections have the exceptional programming. It's almost difficult to choose which courses you want to go to at that meeting because the options are endless.
You could also visit a next conference where you could witness people who are on the leading edge of physical therapy perform in an Oxford debate and where the future APTA president might be dressed like Wonder Woman. So last year at Charlotte, Sharon Dunn, during the Oxford debate, and I had never seen an Oxford debate, and it's very, very tongue-in-cheek, you know, taking a serious issue, but then taking two tongue-in-cheek sides and kind of going at it. And you were on stage arguing as Wonder Woman. So was that your idea?
I was coaxed into the Wonder Woman outfit by Gretchen Seif, who is on faculty at the Medical University of South Carolina. She was on the opposing team, and we were the only two women on stage, so we had a little bit of a chip on our shoulder about that. So she talked me into the Wonder Woman outfit at the end, and it was great fun. And actually, you bring up the next conference. That's something that we are retooling for new professionals as a meeting place and as futuristic and visionary opportunity for new professionals and early career physical therapists and physical therapist assistants to have their meeting place. And the tracks are innovative and about new concepts in the profession. And it's I've enjoyed it. It's a lot of fun. So, yeah, the Oxford debate was great fun. Anyone interested in having a good time should go to one and certainly participate in one eventually.
Yeah, I challenge you to go into a room full of several hundred PTs with maybe a beverage or two being consumed and not have a really good time and some interesting discussions. This podcast right here was pretty much kind of conceived at a next conference, talking to people like yourself at these events, and I haven't found really a PT that I've tried to talk to who's been practicing who doesn't want to talk to a bunch of students. So it's exciting to be in a field where people who've been practicing for so long are pretty giving in terms of giving back to the students. So I appreciate that.
We love our students, and we consider you guys the future. And there's so much energy coming out of the student assembly right now and student engagement that it's hard not to catch that enthusiasm. So you guys bring us up. I love National Student Conclave. I always leave that meeting on fire. It's really a lot of fun.
Let's get to the point of you being an educator. What are DPT students, what are we lacking? What's the one pet peeve you have that we don't pay attention to? What do we need to know? Hammer it home if you had one.
One pearl of wisdom: in order to thrive in an uncertain environment as you graduate, I think you need to have risk tolerance, more so than any generation before you. Because it's scary to be in the kind of loan debt you are and assume something that's not so sure. But the more risk tolerant you are, the more opportunities will be available to you. So I wouldn't say anything clinically as far as graduates today. You across the board, curriculum is exceptional. You're coming out of school with better clinical preparation than in the past, I believe.
That's good. I like that. I'm going to write that down. Let's go back to, you had brought up a statistic, 30% of practicing PTs are actually members of
the
APTA.
Yep.
That's sort of scary to hear. What do you think is the biggest barrier? What are the other 70% What is their biggest hurdle for them to spend the money? And it is money. What is the fee after a couple years of graduation?
The national APTA dues are $275 a year.
Okay.
But it's combined with whatever your jurisdictional, your state chapter dues are. So in Louisiana, it's $125. So my dues are right at $350, $400 a year. Mm-hmm. And then any section that you belong to is an additional fee with that. So that is the greatest barrier that people are willing to tell us on surveys, that it costs too much. I disagree with it costing too much, because for the same price you can get a Starbucks coffee every day, you can be a member of the association. And people value their coffee, but they don't value membership in the association enough. So part of this equation is on us, so that people understand the importance of belonging to the association, that they put a value on membership. And my value on membership is as much what I get in information as it is the network of colleagues I have across the country. That if I have an issue, I can pick up the phone and call the person who is the expert on whatever issue or question I have. That's a value of belonging and getting engaged in the association as much as it is the access to the information. The other most important thing APTA does for us that people really don't understand is the advocacy piece. In your state chapters and in the national arena, APTA has lobbyists who are every day working not only to keep the profession alive, but advocating for opportunities for us to grow our profession and our business beyond today. The people who aren't members are able to benefit from that without paying the price. And it's not so great a price, but we need to do a better job of selling what the value of membership is.
To that and, 70%?
Yeah, and it's all our profession. Every one of us who are licensed and practicing own this profession, and the APTA is the driver of progress. We certainly want all of our colleagues to participate with us.
Are they just not seeing a benefit fast enough? Are we similar to patients in that regard, where we know it's probably good for us and I would do it, but if I don't see a return right away, I don't want to be involved? Another barrier is I want a quick fix.
I think that's part of it. I think they, you know, the money, and with the economy like it is right now, if there are other things you value in your life than membership, you don't see the return on your investment, I guess, is what you're saying. So we have to demonstrate the return on the investment enough to where people want to join. So each member has an opportunity to increase the membership numbers just by simply inviting your colleagues. The PT Pub Night across the country has been great for that, because it's loosely associated with APTA, but it's not an APTA activity that's engaging all PTs and PTAs to come and engage in conversation. Those are great opportunities to share with our colleagues what APTA is doing in a no stress, no pressure, no guilt trip kind of way. And I think that's a problem. Some people have felt guilted out of being a part of the association, and we should not do that at all. It's all of our profession. And so once everybody feels that they belong and have an opportunity to influence, I think that's the return on investment.
Well, let me ask you this hypothetical situation. Let's say ballpark it's $500 to be a member of the APTA, and we've got 30%. Would you be just as happy if it was $250 and you had 60%? You cut the cost in half, but you had twice as many people involved?
That would certainly expand our reach.
Would that make you happier? Because it really is involvement. It's not really about the $500. It's what we can do with it, hopefully.
The more people who are sharing the messages, who are getting our information and participating at that, what we started out in this conversation, the aspirational level of the profession, the more people we have engaged in those kinds of standard setting, the better we all are. So membership dues are part of our bylaws. So ultimately, the House of Delegates directs any changes in the bylaws. So talking about membership levels and membership categories is a House of Delegates conversation. And it's something that I would like us to begin to engage in a conversation about these issues that you bring up, because the greater our reach, the better.
Okay, going to take a quick 60-second break to reload the summer shandy here at the PT Pinecast. When we come back, I want to talk about College Football Fanatic. I want to hear a couple of stories from that. And also want to get into some topics that are close to your heart. I want to talk about anatomy and how we can stay sharp while we're still out there in the field long after we've graduated from PT school. We'll be back in 60 seconds on the PT Pinecast.
Taking IPAs over TKAs. It's the PT Pinecast.
Coming October 1st, Next Gen PT TV, an affordable subscription-based video platform designed by PTs for PTs. Access and watch clinically relevant content for as low as $7.95 a month. With channels ranging from orthopedic prep to applied pain sciences, you'll be sure to find a channel for you. Next Gen PT TV. More information at nxtgenpt.tv. On Twitter at nxtgen Institute. Next Gen PT TV, coming October 1st.
This is the PT Pinecast.
And we're back with current APTA president, Sharon Dunn. You can find her on the Twitter sphere at sdunn2. She is a college football fanatic. And I'm guessing I have an idea which team you root for on Saturdays.
Of course, it's where my paycheck is signed.
Oh, it's not Auburn, is it? Is that sacrilegious? No.
No, Alabama would be sacrilegious. It's LSU, of course, the Fighting Tigers.
Fan your whole life?
On Saturdays in the fall, I can be found sitting on my couch by myself in front of the TV so I can yell at it, because if I'm at a game, people accuse me of being a little bit crazy. I have the TV on. I have my laptop running because my brother is a Division III head football coach. So I'm usually streaming his game while I'm watching SEC.
So where's he a coach at?
At Louisiana College, which is a Baptist college in central Louisiana. He's a fantastic football coach. I'm going to brag a little bit about my brother. He coached in his early days at Evangel Christian Academy. So he coached Brock Berland, the Booty Brothers, who played quarterback at USC, and several All-Americans there at a small little Christian school here in Shreveport. And then he got his college break to go to Division III football. Phenomenal coach.
Safe to say that football and the love of it run in the family.
Yeah, definitely. And he accuses me of trying to coach from the sidelines, because after the game, I'll tell him, why didn't you run XYZ when such and such happened on defense? He's like, I don't bother with your physical therapy business. You stay out of my coaching. It's great fun. I yell at the TV because I'll see patterns for an offensive play when LSU is on the TV, and I'm thinking, come on, Les, you're so damn conservative. He's just, you know, 3 yards in a cloud of dust, like old school Big Ten, and that's where his roots are. So it drives me crazy. He's the gambler, though, you know, the Mad Hatter, so it's what we have.
All right. So we got the Fighting Tigers. And what is your brother's mascot? What's the mascot? It's always important.
The Wildcats.
The Wildcats.
Yeah.
So getting back to PT talk, you've got a PhD in cellular biology and anatomy.
Mm.
So obviously that anatomy PhD kind of came in handy with PT school and PT practice. So is that something you got because you knew it was terribly important as a physical therapist? Or what was kind of your driving force for that?
The driving force for getting a PhD was to continue to teach in an entry-level physical therapy program as it transitioned from master's to doctoral level. And as the requirements for faculty were increasing, I knew that I needed a terminal degree. Cell biology and anatomy has always fascinated me. Getting to be in the anatomy lab through the 6 years of PhD work, and also learning a lot about basic science on the cellular biology side. I didn't realize until I got there how relevant genetics and genetic expression are to physical therapy. A lot of the things that we do as physical therapists regulate genetic expression, and that's something that I think your generation will take off with, because regenerative medicine and genetic manipulation are things of the immediate and lasting future. And I think partnered with good physical therapy, the outcomes could be even better.
So let's talk about something that's near and dear to all DPT students, and that is the expanding debt that we're all going under. So it's moved to a doctoral degree, and obviously that's going to be a little bit longer, and that's going to be a little more expensive, and we're seeing rising tuition costs, and that's just the cost of doing business. Any business, the harder it is to get into PT school, and there's more applicants than there are seats, so the cost is going to go up, and that's just supply and demand. But we're looking at rising tuition costs and sort of stagnant payment once we get out. So what's the APTA working for there? Is that more advocacy, or how do we move the payment in the same direction of the tuition?
I deal with this daily as a teacher and an academic administrator, and the challenges that my students are having with loan indebtedness. And it's getting to a breaking point where it's scary for you guys knowing whether or not you'll be able to pay your loan debt off given what your entry-level salaries are. So I do empathize, and I am very concerned about it as not only as the president of APTA, but as a program director. So what is APTA doing to address payment? Many key areas and initiatives that we have to address payment. One is our alternative payment system, better known as the Physical Therapist Classification and Payment System. This is a step, and you can go to APTA's payment reform area of the website and learn more about this. But this is a step towards moving us from a volume and procedure-based coding to a value-based system, which will require the clinical judgment of the physical therapist in documentation. So that ultimately, hopefully, will be valued higher than a service-oriented procedure and time-based coding system. The second thing that we did when the Affordable Care Act was in play in Congress was we got physical therapy and rehabilitation included as one of the 10 essential benefits. So payers have to pay for rehabilitation, which was huge. People wonder what table we're at in healthcare reform. Well, we were gluttons at the table that mattered, and that's in the law, that rehab is one of the 10 essential benefits. And APTA helped to do that through our advocacy efforts. And this triple aim is moving towards what I think is great for physical therapy: improved health outcomes, improved patient experience, and decreased per capita cost. And when you show data that says physical therapy at the front of an episode of back pain decreased the cost by $4,000 per episode, that's huge.
Right.
So we are doing this. Another big initiative that we have at APTA is the Physical Therapy Outcomes Registry, another area on the website where you can look. This will assist us in proving how PT is able to achieve the triple aim through downstream cost savings when PT is involved in an episode of care. So with quality data, we'll be able to show policymakers and payers what our significant contributions are to overall health and reduce cost. So those are the large initiatives that APTA has going about payment and helping to increase our opportunities for being a key player in healthcare reform.
Another big topic, we actually asked the DPT student Facebook group, hey, if you had a chance to ask Sharon Dunn, APTA president, a question, what would you ask? And Joe brought this one up, is the alternative payment system. And that's pretty much an alternative reimbursement system proposed by the APTA for outpatient services. The largest outpatient players have formed an alliance against the APTA model and revoked reimbursement for APTA dues for its employees. It's a hot topic. In a nutshell, what does it mean?
What is the alternative payment system and why is APTA doing this? Well, payment is evolving for all health professions right now. And part of the reason for that is that the United States spends 17% of our gross domestic product on healthcare. The next highest industrialized nation spends 11% of their gross domestic product on healthcare. And our health outcomes are no better than theirs. So something is obviously broken. And what's broken is this volume-driven incentive. The more you give to a patient, the more money you make, whether the patient needs it or not. So the costs are going up and up and up because the incentives are misplaced on volume rather than patient need and patient outcome. So that's where the Affordable Care Act came into play. flipping from a volume-based incentive program towards an outcomes-based value program. And as if you followed payment at all, you know that we have a huge regulatory burden placed on us, cuts coming down the pike, because outpatient physical therapy has shown a 10% growth per year for several years. And the only thing that payers have to look at is utilization data. They don't have outcomes data. And so they're attempting to compress us with more plans to compress us in the future. So rather than have this done to us, APTA took a leadership role in identifying a way to change payment so it would better reflect not just what we're doing with our hands, but what's happening between our ears, so that we could show the professional decision making that physical therapists are engaged in when we treat a patient. Procedure-based coding system that we currently use is based on time and procedures, HOD-PAC, ultrasound, therapeutic exercise, that other people use and claim that they're able to do physical therapy because they're doing these procedures with their hands. The coding proposal is drafted in a way that the physical therapist will have a per session code that they use, 1 through 5, that increases in intensity according to what the patient's presentation is and what, in your best clinical judgment, is what the patient's needs are. Outcomes will be tied to it, so we can show that because we delivered X, we were able to get X outcome. So a lot of things are at play here. One is that the healthcare delivery environment is moving away from volume and towards value, and we wanted to lead in this area so we could be the purveyors of whatever kind of coding system we wanted rather than it being done to us. The challenge right now is that it's in play. Right now, we have a proposal before the AMA, who owns the coding system. We're at the table with 11 other partners who use these codes to develop a new coding system instead of these, we call them 97,000 series codes. And once we pitched it to the AMA, it now belongs to them. So we've signed a non-disclosure agreement as we're continuing this process, but we are taking feedback, and the proposal has evolved according to the feedback that we've had. So we're working with the Alliance and inviting them to continue to participate with us in this proposal, and so far they're not willing to rejoin us, but the offer still stands for anybody who wants to participate in improving the code set. We're still working on that.
So just so I'm clear, we're putting our money where our mouth is in terms of a field that by tying outcomes to payments. And the research has shown, as you mentioned before, PT with the front end of back pain can save up to, you know, X amount of thousands of dollars overall. So are we saying if we can produce outcomes that our payment should be higher because we're giving your healthcare consumer more benefit and we're probably more cost effective than any alternative?
Essentially, it is putting our money where our mouth is. And also, private payers are already moving towards this type of model and paying physical therapists more for outcomes that they're able to achieve. So we're in line with where payment is heading. As Wayne Gretzky said, you skate to where the puck is going, not to where the puck is. And we're attempting to go right where the puck is headed with opportunities to be valued at a higher level.
So are we seeing the resistance right now because we might be a little bit ahead of our time?
Maybe that's it. I think anytime there's a change of this magnitude, there's a level of angst about it because we're already compressed on payment, and there's great concern that this would, one, be an administrative burden to change to, which it will. But if we don't do it, someone will do it to us. Just as Medicare 2 years ago required functional limitation reporting, that was a big change that we all adjusted to because payment was tied to it. So change is on the horizon, We want to be a part of that change rather than be a victim of the change.
Right. We want to be steering the ship to the direction we'd like it to go, because we know we're an effective part of the healthcare system. So why not steer it to where we can say we're effective, we can prove it, and we're willing to be paid by the outcomes of our effectiveness.
Yeah, and we will be paid by our outcomes. And volume-based billing is soon to be a thing of the past. And people who aren't willing to move towards quality, value, and outcomes-based management are being challenged right now and will continue to be.
So is it okay if I go into my CI tomorrow and tell her I don't have to worry about how to figure out how many units this is because it's going to go away soon? Can you write a note for me?
Can't do that yet. This coding proposal is in play, but it's far from over. It's far from finished.
All right. Before we let you go, on the horizon, what do we have to look forward to with the APTA, with you steering the ship to where the puck is going to be? What are the things that you really want to get accomplished while you're the president of the APTA?
I would like collaborative partnerships, both internally and externally. So anyone who wants to participate, I want us to do this together, because together we're a lot stronger than we are apart. That's one of the main priorities that I have. Communications, which we touched on, how do we get our message to the public about what our contributions can be? That's huge. And then responding to the environment so that our value is not only known to the public, but expressed through data-based opportunities, through payment reform and the registry. That's a lot to do in 3 years. I'm not Pollyanna. But I think together, I think the future is very bright.
All right. Sharon Dunn, everybody, the new president of the APTA. Find her on Twitter, and you can tweet at her, @DunnSDunn2. And on Saturdays this fall, we know where we can find you. You'll be in front of the computer because you'll be following two different football games, LSU and the brother as well.
Yep. That'll be. Thank you, Jimmy. I enjoyed it.
Well, we appreciate your time and look forward to the things coming on the horizon for the APTA.
Thank you. Stay in touch. Tweet me.
Cracking your back and a cold one. The PT Pinecast with McKay. The PT Pinecast is intended for educational purposes only. No clinical decision-making should be based solely on one source. While care is taken to ensure accuracy, factual errors can be present. Our lawyers made us read that.